This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
You will not want to miss the five-day sale happening this Black Friday through November 27th at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts. During these 5 days only, O'Reilly Auto Parts will offer incredible sales prices on products your vehicle uses every day. Stock up and save big on maintenance, chemicals, motor oil, wiper blades, tool sets, and more. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better price, better parts every day. O'Reilly's. All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Chris Landry. He is the owner of ChrisLandryFootball.com and is a longtime scout in the NFL and college football. Chris, welcome into the show. You're on with David and Carla.
David, Carla, how are you guys doing today?
Well, we are doing great. We are sitting here in front of a panel of TVs looking at this Rams-Chiefs game, and we're placing over-under bets on how many points will be scored tonight. What's your number?
Give us the intel,
over. Over.
Over.
Hey, so far, so good. As I'm sure you guys are watching, the Rams made quick order of it, scored quick, and the Chiefs, getting their offense going. This game will remind you of a tennis match. Whoever can get a service break, that's the one that's going to get a chance. Every team, an average NFL game, you have about 12 offensive possessions. So if you can steal an extra possession, a half, that's the team that's going to win this game. I think the defenses are going to have a long night.
It is like a tennis match. You got to hold serve, right? You've got to score when you get the ball.
So, that's right. And you know, defensively, if it can just come up with a turnover here or there, that could make the difference in this game.
You know, when I'm watching this game and I'm thinking about the quarterbacks of this class, I mean, Mahomes, Watson, and then Trubisky had a pretty good game yesterday. You're a longtime scout. You've seen these guys come into the NFL and light it up. Who impresses you the most? What are you seeing out of those three?
Well, they all have done a good job, but this guy Mahomes is outstanding. And, of course, no player can do it by themselves, as you guys well know. Andy Reid's done a tremendous job with Patrick, and they've got good weapons around him, and that makes a huge difference. But we're seeing, I think, an embracing of some of the college element into the pro game. It's modernized it. The offense is enough to where it's made it more quarterback-friendly, and we're seeing these guys have a lot of success. I can't tell you the last time I've been this excited by the number of young quarterbacks. You mentioned a few, but there are others that are just playing good football and got a chance to have really good careers. And you just, you know, you hope that they do a really good job of developing players around them. We've seen that always holds people back sometimes when you've got good young talent, good quarterbacks, but they go through four or five coordinators. You don't have good personnel around him, and all of a sudden you say, well, that guy was a disappointment. Well, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, just that the disappointment was how they were able to raise him in the league.
We're talking to Chris Landry of ChrisLandryFootball.com. Would love to ask you about Dak Prescott and his development. Year three, he's not producing at the same level he was year one. What kind of trajectory is he on?
Well, you know, when he had early success, obviously that team was built around the running game and the offensive line. So when you're able to run the football and control the game and you were able to maintain one possession games, Dak was able to make plays because he got favorable coverage. He forced a lot of 8 and 9 man front, so you had a lot of man coverage, a lot of single coverage, a lot of single high safeties to where he was able to throw the football effective enough. As the running game hasn't been as consistent due to the offensive line play, it's put the game more in Dak's hands. And Dak's strength is a little bit more play action, boots and waggles outside the pocket, not so much drop back, throw it into the teeth of cover two defenses. And so I think that's where the problem has been. He still can be very successful for them, but they've got to get back to being a really good running team, a really good line of scrimmage team, and not have to play from a chase position. You look at even the great quarterbacks in this league, guys that are going into the Hall of Fame, you put them in a situation where they're constantly playing from behind, they're going to be mistakes made. They're going to be bad throws. They're going to be picks, and that's going to lead to negativity. So I think that's where Dak is right now. He's not in the category of a couple of the guys we just mentioned, but he's really good.
Okay, Chris, staying with the NFC East and quarterbacks, I'm scratching my head about Carson Wentz. What is going on with him personally and then the Eagles team? I mean, you know, everyone talks about a Super Bowl hangover. Well, like, I think it's a little bit more than a hangover. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. And I saw a crazy stat that In games that Carson Wentz has 300-plus yards, he's 0-3. In games that he's 300 or less, I mean, less than 300 yards, he's 3-0. Like, help me with that. What's going on there?
Well, it's a great stat, and the very simple reason is when he's having to throw the football for a lot of yards in the 300, 400 range, it's because they're playing from behind, and the defense is not playing well, and that's the case this year. The Eagles' defense is really struggling. They're young because they're playing so many young guys due to injuries. So they can't run their entire defense. They're getting gashed in both the run and pass game. They have no healthy bodies. They have no warm bodies in the secondary to defend, you know, not just a team like the Saints yesterday, but other teams. So that's an issue. So now you're playing from behind. You're one-dimensional, so you can't run things through the running game. You're not going to be as effective, kind of what I was just talking about. Carson was I would put him in the category of one of these bright young quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. But there again, when you don't play well around him, it's a problem. Remember when people thought, Jared Goff would be a bust that first year? Well, you know, now that they've got a good team around him and it's pretty good, he's doing a really good job. Carson will be fine, but this Eagle team is far from fine this year because you mentioned they're struggling. And it's not just the hangover. It's the injuries. It's the problems on the offensive line. That was their strength last year. The offensive and defensive lines, injuries have mitigated that quite a bit.
We're talking to Chris Landry of ChrisLandryFootball.com. I want to ask you about Justin Hebert relative to these other great young quarterbacks that have come out. Where would he slot if he, as a player today, were coming into a draft that included Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen and all these guys?
I think he'd be right in that mix, David. He's outstanding. He's got the physical qualities that remind you a little bit of Patrick Mahomes that's playing right now. Mm. He's big. He's 6'5", 6'4 and a half, 6'5". When we measure him at the combine, we'll get the exact numbers. I mean, he's strong. He's very athletic. He can contort his body and throw it off of different platforms. He's got special qualities. Now, what I always say about quarterbacks is, what is the guy's capacity to learn and willingness to learn? So what is the guy's ability to process information, make good decisions? The physical skills are really important, but the intangibles are every bit as important, if not more important. And that's what separates the good ones from the great ones. I think that this guy has the physical skills to be really good, maybe even great. We'll have to see a little bit more about some of the intangibles. I think it's been an up-and-down year for him this year. But you know what? It's you've got to look through that as a scout. I remember last year people telling me if you look at Sam Darnold, too many turnovers, too many mistakes. But you got to understand, and you know, USC they played so poorly the past couple of years at the line of scrimmage that he was often trying to lead his team from behind. Where you're going to make mistakes, and Darnold's taking his lumps this year on a team that's not that good. But I see a lot of bright spots, even though he's struggling right now. So I think Justin Herbert's going to have an outstanding career, and it wouldn't surprise me if he's in that play for the top overall pick in the draft. It'll depend upon who ends up getting the pick and their quarterback situation. A number of the teams that are really bad, they've already exercised a high pick at quarterback. So maybe if it's a team like the Giants, they'll make that move. But everybody else has kind of moved on, or at least moved towards another quarterback. But I think he'll go high.
Okay, Chris, we are mano a mano because I was just writing down, I have to ask him about Sam Darnold. I have a soft spot in my heart for that guy. He's from my alma mater. But I think you explained what I was hoping is that he does have these intangibles, your capacity and willingness to learn, and he's got the athletic ability. And I'm just looking at what's around him and thinking, yeah, no, this is going to be a tough road for him. Do you think his progress hinges on, do you think Todd Bowles' job hinges on how Darnold does?
Oh, I think it does. I mean, I thought they had a chance to maybe win 6 or 7, and that's looking like that's not going to happen. And I think Todd's job is definitely on the line here the rest of the way. The thing that impressed me the most about Sam Darnold was his ability to put bad plays behind him. You know, every quarterback makes mistakes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, turn the football over, comes back, and puts his team on his shoulder. That's what he did at USC, is I know you know, watching him and following him in college. I don't worry about him, for example, in New York with people maybe booing him or saying he can't do this or that. He's a flatliner. It won't bother him. The only variable will be how well they're able to build a team around him. And I think they've got some pieces on the defense, but quite frankly, I think this team has underachieved a little bit this year. I thought they'd be a little bit more consistent. in a couple of games, breaking them down on film in the early part of the year. I thought they had a chance to have a decent season, as I mentioned, but that's not going to be the case. It's looked like it's going to be another woeful season in New York.
Chris, we've got about a minute left. How about Ed Oliver? Did the dust-up with Major Applewhite affect where he's going to go in the draft?
No, I don't think it will. I think the only thing would be the injury, and if he checks out medically, he'll be fine. I think he's got he's a really good interior defensive lineman that can play both the run and the pass very well. I think he's a good young man. He plays hard. He's been real positive. That was a bad look by both of them last week, as you guys well know, but came out. And I don't, you know, when there's a pattern, there's an issue. In my scouting career, I always worried about guys who had a pattern of bad behavior or immature behavior, and you wonder, where is it? But you know, when a guy is just maybe a here or there, makes a mistake, I think he can grow from it, and I think that's the case with him.
Fair enough. That's so great. Chris Landry, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.